verses 21 through 27. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Oh, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I study the scripture for the sermon, there's often words or phrases that stand out for me. The passage, the word stand, stood out in this. It made me think of a story where a guest preacher one day at the church came through the door of the sanctuary in plenty of time for the service. Some musicians were practicing. A few ushers were taking care of Sunday morning details. One of the pastors greeted me and offered a few introductions. After a brief run through the morning worship service, I asked about the pulpit. We don't use the pulpit very often. We usually preach from here in the chancel or down there in the aisle. I asked why, and no one had an answer. I expected a word about communication or authority or outdated symbols, but that gathering of worship leaders offered little theological rationale. Although my hosts fully supported my desire to use the pulpit, they had to dust it off and take out the extension cords piled inside. The former minister in Halstead used to preach his sermons walking up and down the aisles. Joe preaches from the front. I prefer to preach from the back. I've never got over my fear of being in this place. In the United Methodist Church, we go to a weekend school called Lay Speakers School. My first speech was supposed to be just about myself for 5 minutes. And the director of the school said, I will give a few commentaries. I won't use anybody's name. I'll just say some things that you need to work on. One person didn't speak loud enough for everyone to hear. One person never lifted their head from their notes. One lady made sure the pulpit never left the floor. That was me. A minister from Arizona preached on the floor level in front of the church and never used the pulpit. A minister in PA just moved the baptismal font to the back of the church and wanted to remove the American flag from the sanctuary altogether. Halstead's case one had to keep moving around in the pew to find the minister. In Arizona, the minister was an Asian lady who was very short, and if anybody tall sat in front of you, you couldn't see her even. There's a very theological reason for moving the baptismal font to the back of the church. Originally, that was where the baptismal font was placed. The baby left its home, was baptized in the back of the church, and brought forward as a member of a congregation. There doesn't seem to be any idea of where we ought to preach. A simple arrangement of the sanctuary furniture does not address the challenging question of authority when it comes to proclamation in the church. To move closer to the people may improve the dynamics of communication, but it doesn't necessarily squelch conversation about power, equality, or community in preaching. For at the end of the week, in most cases, one person still stands up to speak while the congregation sits to listen. However, the point is not where you stand, but what you stand for and working toward your relationship with God. You remember the old children's hymn, the B-I-B-L-E? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. In my ordination service, the bishop placed his hand upon my head and said, Marilyn, take authority as a deacon to proclaim the word of God and to lead God's people to serve the world. What a task to be given. Proclaim the word of God. I like to believe that God does put the words into my mind that are spoken on Sunday morning. The church has always affirmed that we hear God through his word, both written and proclaimed. That is, we hear God speaking to us through the medium of the scriptures and through the proclamation of the sermon. How does God speak to you in this 21st century? We have so many denominations because we can't agree on what the Word of God says, the Bible. So many of our rituals are man-made, not God-made. Baptism, communion, different ceremonies of the year. Each person can read the same verse and come up with a different meaning. God made us all different. Our circumstances are all different. We are bound to look at Scripture from different points of view. I remember when I had my first child, the nativity scene took on a whole new meaning. As I lay in a sterile hospital and think of Mary in the stable. When I lost my son, the story of Mary standing at the cross watching her son die took on a whole new meaning. Paul says in the scripture today, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. How do we stand firm when we are all so different? God saw that problem as he watched his children fall away in the Old Testament times. So God came up with Plan B. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. He was God in the beginning. The Word became flesh. That's how we know the Word of God now, through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Story after story in the life of Jesus gives us the compass for standing firm in our faith. When I read the parables of Jesus, I look to see, which person am I in the story? Am I the rebellious son, or am I the stay-at-home son? Am I the widow searching for the lost coin? Am I the shepherd who left his whole flock to go search for one? What was Jesus trying to teach each person in the story? But God speaks to us in many more ways than just through a sermon on Sunday mornings. He speaks to us through the music, through the touch of another's hand. He speaks to you in the silence, in the prayer of confession, in the dedication of your officers. He speaks to you in the celebration of the Holy, how you act upon his word glorifies or diminishes his work. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and made them more concise. Love your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. I think the word of God is wrapped up in one word, love. Jesus gave us the way to live. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. But we must stand firm in the light of his wonderful love. Let us pray. Dear God, touch our hearts this day. Help us to listen to your message to us, that we may be a light in a dark world, a hand for those in distress, and a testament to your love given first to us, that we might give it to those around us. Amen.